Greetings, cultivators worldwide. Jordan River here, the guy in your ear who tells you things about cultivation. I have a request today. I am putting out a call for help. I rarely ask the community for aid, but we need it. Specifically, a team member of ours. We're looking for something very strange and very specific, but if you could reach out to us and help, it would be huge. We're looking for an immigration specialist, a naturalization specialist, specifically in California, the Southern California area for a GrowCast team member. If you know anything about immigration law, if you work in the field, or if you know anyone who does, can you please reach out and connect us about naturalization in the Southern California area would be ideal. And you would be doing a massive favor to me and the whole GrowCast universe and this GrowCast team member. So putting out this call here, you might hear it again. Anybody who could help, I would be so, so grateful if you could reach out. contact@growcastpodcast.com is our email, or DM us on Instagram. Get at us if you can help. That would be incredible. Thank you all for your consideration. Today's episode is with Ari from Dino Myco. Ari is awesome. He goes all over talking to growers, talking about Myco. He has such a great episode today. I mean, I'm not even going to say anything. You guys are going to love this episode. Before we jump in, I'm going to give some love to Rain Science Grow Bags, the best growing containers on the market. You can find them at rainsciencegrowbags.com. You can use code GROWCAST for 10% off your Rain Science Grow Bags. Knock out overwatering. Get that good airflow. They last a lifetime. They're machine washable. They're the best in the game. They got tall ones. They got the Lowrider Flatter Series. They got propagation cones. Code GROWCAST works for 10% off everything at rainsciencegrowbags.com. All right, everybody, let's get into it with Ari. Enjoy this awesome episode. Thank you for listening. And again, enjoy the show. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GrowCast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Before we get started, I urge you to share the show. Tell a grower about GrowCast. Tell a smoker. Make sure you're subscribed so you catch every episode. Find us on Spotify, iTunes, everywhere. And give us a good review if you would. I appreciate it. Today, we're talking about mycorrhiza. That's right, mycorrhiza fungi. And we have none other than Ari from Dino Myco on the phone, a very good friend of the show. How are you doing today, Ari?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. It's a real honor.
Yeah, man. We've talked quite a bit, you know, back and forth. I'm surprised we haven't gotten you on the show before, to be honest. But Ari runs Dino Myco. You guys have seen Dino Myco. Why don't you tell me about, Ari, your story, the creation of Dino Myco, and all the incredible work that you're doing now.
Right. So about 32 years ago, a professor by the name of Yoram Kapolnik was doing his PhD on plant and soil interactions and microorganism interactions. And he learned a whole lot about fungi. And at a certain point, he wanted to, you know, explore how these fungi benefit plants. And he bought a ton of different products that were available on the market, and none of them did anything. He's like, this can't be. You know, there's all this literature and all this scientific stuff that says that they're beneficial for plants, but the products that he was purchasing just were very low in concentration, which is very poorly produced. And so he decided that he was going to go find these fungi and, you know, then take that and see what they actually do. So he went out and started looking for different plants in different areas. And eventually he stumbled upon several plants in the Dead Sea region in Israel. So it's called the Judean Desert, very salty area. The Dead Sea is the saltiest body of water in the world, some of the harshest climate in the world. And he discovered these fungi over there that were thriving for millions of years, and plants were living there. And he basically was able to isolate several of these strains, take them back to the lab, figure out how to produce them, you know, not in nature, but rather on plants, but in his own greenhouses. And the moment he did that, all of a sudden, you know, he started doing these trials with the fungi and realized, oh man, this is what they were talking about. So he basically stumbled upon some super strains of fungi.
Wow.
And was able to really see the benefits of these mycorrhizal fungi. So fast forward about 25 years later, one of the guys who was working in his lab at the time, you know, he just said to him, look, you've done 25 years of research. You know that this stuff is working. Let's mass produce it. Let's, you know, make it a commercial product. and let's make it happen. So one of the co-founders of the company, Danny, eventually joined up with Dan and Yossi, and they founded the company. So that was 7 years ago. And they have all these, the super strains that Yoram discovered back in the late 80s. Yes. And basically, they were able to produce the fungi at a much larger scale, add a whole lot of other also species, because there's Glomus intraradices and Glomus mossae in Dynamico. And on top of that, just to be able to produce it at a much larger scale. Sure. So that was about 7 years ago. I came on board about 3.5 years ago when the company was just, breaking ground pretty much in terms of the production. And when I came on board, the first thing my VP of sales said to me, "Hey, we want to get into the cannabis space. Can you make that happen?" And here we are 3.5 years later.
Damn.
With Dynamico launched about 2 years and 2 months ago in the States. We're now sold in Israel, in the UK, in Chile, in the USA, and in Canada. And more countries coming online. So it's been a fun ride.
Wow, I got so many questions. That's a great story. I have so many questions. First of all,
Go for it. That's what we're here for.
First of all, you talk about the Israeli strain of the of the myco being particularly vigorous. Do you attribute that to the climate that it comes from, and it's just a special type of myco that you don't really find anywhere else?
That's 100% correct. So basically, the fungi that we've selected are able to they're able to tolerate salinity, so they're very good with bottled nutrients. And that's a lot of times what people say, they don't work because it's high salts. Well, with our fungi, they come from the saltiest area on the planet.
Wow.
So very compatible with all your nutrients, your organic and inorganic. And it's just evolved over millions of years to be able to deal with such conditions. Jeez. So it's also able to tolerate the heat, because it can get up to, way over 100, 110, 120 degrees sometimes out there. It's able to tolerate drought. It's able to tolerate the heat, flash floods, all that stuff. So, it's what's called a super strain, pretty much.
Wow.
And now on top of that, that's not the only strain that we have inside Dynamico. So that's the beauty of it. So that we have other strains from around the world.
Sure.
That if that super strain is not able to, adapt to a certain, to a certain area or region in the world, then you have different strains from other parts of the world that can do that.
Wow. I absolutely love it. Now, what about this process of creating it, kind of farming it, as you say? What does that process even look like?
So in terms of mycorrhizal fungi, there are two ways to produce mycorrhizal fungi. One is in vivo, which means that you're growing the fungi on living plants. So you're actually raising, you're growing plants in order to harvest the fungi in their roots. And then the other way to produce them is in vitro, which is in petri dishes.
Sure.
Now, each has their advantage and disadvantage. With an in vivo production on living plants, it's a lot harder to harvest these fungi successfully and keep the quality control and quality assurance at a level where you can pass, regulatory testing. But on the other hand, when you do when you produce it this way, you can get afterwards a whole inoculum. So if you harvest the fungi, you can get roots, you can get root fragments, which are already inoculated with the fungi. You can get hyphae and you can get spores together. So that all three are considered propagules. And when you have them all three together, it's considered a whole inoculum.
Whoa.
And when you have a whole inoculum, your infection potential, your IP, increases. So the higher your infection potential is, the more likely you are to inoculate a plant, colonize the roots, and basically have the plant benefit from this symbiotic relationship.
Wow.
In vitro production, which is in petri dishes, has its advantages, where you can get 100% clean spores. But on the other hand, it has a lot of disadvantages as well, because when you're in sterile petri dishes, you're like a boy in the bubble. And then when you go out into the real world, you know, you don't know how to handle,
right,
you know, the heat, the salinity, the droughts, the watering schedule, the feeding schedules, you know, all this different stuff. So it takes you a little bit longer to adapt. And that's a disadvantage. So those are the two ways to produce mycorrhizal fungi.
Wow.
It's important for me to say that our fungi, they're non-GMO. They're 100%, you know, living natural organisms. We did not alter them at all. And yes, you know, clean green certified. It's approved for cultivation. Sure. You know, they don't consider cannabis organic because it's federally illegal, but it's right, the closest thing to organic that you can get.
So. It's funny because you're right. We don't have that certification yet. As much as people say this is organic, that's organic, and we all know what they mean, but we don't have that certification yet. What plants are they growing when they are doing the in vivo technique? What plants are most beneficial for harvesting?
So there's lots of different host plants. Basically, 90% of the crops and the plants on the planet form symbiotic relationships with the fungi, which are inside of Dinomyco.
Right.
So usually what's used is are carrots. And that's a lot of times what most companies, yeah. But you can use a wide array of host plants. I mean, it would be amazing if we could use cannabis as a host plant, but unfortunately you can't export cannabis or cannabis roots yet. So we have to, you know, work with other host plants. But what's unique about our production method is that we're able to get extremely high concentrations of propagules and make a very concentrated inoculant.
Right.
That's part of our trade secret. And that has to do with how we produce the fungi and what host plants we use. We use a wide array of host plants, but unfortunately I can't really reveal the host plant.
Sure.
Exactly. Because we don't have a patent on our production method, because basically if you, you know, file for a patent, you have to reveal all of
your secrets. Yeah.
And you have it. Yeah. And then, you know, there's no reason why someone won't just say,
it's
a little different. I just tweaked it a little bit and it's completely different. So our intellectual property is the fact that we don't reveal our secrets, pretty much.
I got you.
But
at least you hit me with the carrot. At least you hit me with the carrots. That's interesting.
Yeah.
But I got you.
Carrots. I mean, basically any plant that forms symbiotic relationships with these fungi can become a host plant.
Which is most plants.
And you can use that.
Right.
Which is most plants. Yeah, exactly.
I think the Brassiae or the Brassica family.
Yeah, Brassica. Brassicas do not fall.
Yeah.
No, they do not. There's a few others which require specific mycorrhizal fungi. So blueberry, for instance, blueberries require ericoid mycorrhizae. And then you have ectomycorrhizae, which associates with trees and hardwoods. And, and you know, there are products in the cannabis industry that have ectomycorrhizae inside of them.
Right.
And they do absolutely nothing for cannabis plants, nor vegetables.
Oh, no.
No, nor most of the plants that, you know, people are growing. And if you're gardening, you know, and growing food, so ectomycorrhizae will not do a single thing. And unfortunately, it's found in a lot of products. And there's just not enough market education. You know, there's not enough education on what's going to actually work and do the magic for these different plants. So,
yeah, we want the endomycorrhizal fungi in cannabis. You're right. That distinction is super important to have growers know the difference between a humic acid from a seabed or a humic acid from a Leonardite.
Yep.
One's not going to be beneficial for 6 months. The difference between an ectomycorrhiza and an endomycorrhiza, one's not going to be beneficial for the plant you're growing.
one won't do anything at all, you know?
Yeah, whereas, that's brutal.
Yeah.
That's brutal.
And a lot of times that's, you know, it's a lot easier to produce ectomycorrhizal fungi than it is to produce endomycorrhizal. Yeah, it's way, way easier. So any mushroom that you grow, you know, if you go out into the forest and you find a mushroom growing right next to a tree, that's an ectomycorrhizal fungi. Ah. If you harvest that mushroom and place that cap under, you know, on top of a paper, and then, you know, you'll get a spore print. So basically those spores are considered now propagules, and it's a lot easier to get them.
I see.
Whereas, you know,
as an external,
because you have fruiting bodies.
I got it. Ecto meaning external.
Yep. And endomycorrhiza, they produce spores in the ground. So right. It's a lot more complicated, right? It's a lot harder to get these fungi, these endos, compared to the ectos.
Okay. So I see why someone might produce an ecto product without really realizing
that
it's not the right.
Well, it's, you know.
Is that trickery on your part? Yeah. I mean, are they purposefully deceiving people, or do they not understand that the ecto beneficial isn't, you know what I mean? Like, is that trickery or is it just negligence? How could you not know?
I don't know. It's not my company. It's not my product. I don't want to talk about other companies and what they're doing motives and incentives are. But I think that, you know, if you're looking for an all-around inoculant, then, you know, if they're just, you know, these products are like, oh, well, you can use it for everything. And, you know, most likely something will catch, you know?
Sure. I can see that.
But on the other hand, the way we approached it is we just said, you know, we're going to add only what you need for your specific growing, right? For your growing needs. And then we don't add anything else to our products. And that's what's amazing. So a lot of other companies with mycorrhizal fungi inside of them will also have other additives such as kelp, biochar, humic acids, fulvic acids, earthworm castings, you know, molasses, lots of other ingredients which are plant food ingredients. And what that does then is that, you know, you don't really know if it's the fungi doing the work or if it's these other plant food ingredients doing the work. And 100%. With us, we take that guessing game out. When you see the results from Dynamico, you know that it's the fungi that are doing the magic because there's no other active ingredients inside them.
Well, I do like the formulated blended products. And then I also like having just about everything I can broken down to its purest form. So for instance, like a lot of people are growing with a CalMag supplement that contains nitrogen. Mm-hmm. And I do like those CalMag products, but not in flower. So that's why you keep the Demeter's Destiny raw calcium. So with the myco, it's the same thing. Like there's several, or at least one beneficial bacteria product that I can think of that I'm using that contains liquid mycorrhiza. But I always want that I always want that granular on hand for the transplant.
Right.
Hey, can you speak on the difference between a liquid mycorrhiza application versus a granular application? We'll be right back with Ari. Before that, AC Infinity. AC Infinity makes the best fans, but did you know they also make tents? They also make scissors, trimming scissors, fabric pots. They got what you need at acinfinity.com, and you can save 15% with GrowCast15. Code GrowCast15. Remember to send us a snapshot anytime you use any GrowCast code. Send it to contact@growcastpodcast.com. That's our email. And you'll be automatically entered to win free seeds, unlimited entries, ongoing giveaway, folks. AC Infinity is a great choice for our partners because they make thick, durable, and affordable grow tents. They also make the best fans in the game. They are feather light, whisper quiet, affordable, and smart too. Very, very versatile. Truly the best fans in the game, based in the USA. Support AC Infinity, use code GrowCast15, and send us snapshots anytime you use a code to be entered to win free seeds. I don't grow with anything else as far as airflow, my AC Infinity. I'm looking to swap out these tents ASAP as well, folks. All right, let's get back to it with Ari from Dynamico. Hey, can you speak on the difference between a liquid mycorrhiza application versus a granular application?
Totally. So the liquid application, and I don't know if it's a powder which you're mixing into a liquid or if it's a product which actually has, you know, the mycorrhiza inside of a liquid already. But
it came a liquid, but either or. Speak on whichever you'd like.
So a lot of times it is very difficult to keep fungi alive in a liquid depending on what the liquid is.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons why we don't go about that route, mm-hmm. at least not yet. You'll see that the concentrations also are a lot lower compared to what's on the pack of Dynamico.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, with our granular products, what we basically set out to do is we knew that, you know, most of the growers, they're mixing it in the growing media or placing it directly, you know, in the hole when transplanting. And so we figured, you know, just make a product. We'd make a product which is simple to use in terms of, you know, all someone has to do is pour it into the planting hole when they, you know, when they transplant, and they're already doing that already, or mix it in with their, you know, with the growing media.
Yep.
And so it's super, super easy to use. You know, you don't have to really, we took all the guessing game out. The application rates are super simple. Everything's really, really straightforward. The viability of the products tend to be different. And, you know, water, the temperature can change a lot during storage, during shipment, when it's on the shelf for a while. And we haven't gone that route yet. And that's one of the reasons why, because the shelf life and the way that the fungi can live in such a liquid, it's very difficult to maintain, to have them still alive. So what we, you know, when we have growers who do apply Dynamico into water, we always recommend applying it and using it within 24 hours.
Oh, wow.
Of the moment the product touched water. Yeah, because the fungi, they have biotic and abiotic triggers, right? Which call them to sporulate. So it could be that the plant sends a hormone, a hormonal signal calling for the fungi to inoculate it because it needs nutrients. Or it could be a an abiotic trigger such as rain or heat or, you know, something like that, which will tell the fungus, hey, you gotta get moving or else you're gonna die, you know? Huh. So with the liquids, you know, that tends to be the case. We always recommend that, you know, if you're gonna mix it into your water and then dunk your cubes in or do a root drench, to use it within 24 hours just to make sure that those spores don't die off.
I see. Now, and you say that they have these biological imperatives and these triggers. What is it about the propagules that allows them to last so long? And follow-up question, how long do they last? Like if I just leave a bag of Dynamico unopened, how long do they last and why do they last so long?
Good question. The shelf life right now is 2 years. But, you know, depending on the conditions, it can be more and it can be less.
Sure.
It really depends on if the fungi have host plants in the soil also, you know. So if growing, the fungi need plants in order to live and survive, right? If they don't get carbohydrates from the plant, they'll basically die off or they'll go into dormancy until some new trigger comes around.
I see.
But yeah, so it really depends on what, you know, what it has, what environmental factors there are. But if the fungi, say if you leave a bag of the fungi out for, you know, 2 weeks and it's in super hot conditions, you know, that could die, you know, that could kill them off.
Rather quickly. Yeah, I see.
So, and then same thing, you know, if they're in extreme cold temperatures also, that could kill them off as well. So there's, you know, there's different limitations to, you know, they are living organisms in the end, but it's not to say that with our product, you have a 2 year shelf life and that's from the date of manufacturing. It's not to say that after 2 years, you know, that bag is completely sterile and dead of fungi, right? But the concentration will decrease over time, right? After 2 years, it's not going to be as viable as it was on day one.
I see.
When we produced it.
I see. Okay, I got it, man. This has been a myco exploration. I feel like my exploration. I feel like my eyes are more open and my brain is more understanding of myco than ever before.
All
now,
right.
maybe for just those who have just now got turned on to mycorrhizal fungi, just started growing or something, we haven't even really gone over the benefits. Mm-hmm. I just know, as any soil grower, getting this fungal bacterial balance is just incredible for nutrient uptake and plant health and really really maximizing yield, it seems like. But why don't you tell us why mycorrhiza and what it does for the plant in from a lay perspective?
Well, basically, plants evolved with these fungi. If these fungi were not around millions of years ago, plants would not have evolved either. So that's the natural way to grow, right? If you go out into, I don't know if you've ever had Jeff Lowenfels around on your show,
he's
but
by.
You know, so he always says, you know, no one goes around feeding the redwoods, right? No one pours salts and nutrients to feed the redwoods. They get their nutrients from this intricate network of mycorrhizal fungi, which are able to break down unavailable nutrients to the plant and pull them in. And in exchange for that, they get sugars from the plant.
Right.
So basically what we're doing is we're bringing nature back into your garden. When you buy soil, you're buying most of the time it's sterilized, pasteurized soil, which has been pretty much, you know, removed of every life form in it because they want to make sure that you don't have any of these negative, you know, harmful pathogens in the soil. So they're also going to kill off the good and the bad.
Mm-hmm.
But once that happens, you know, you're not really benefiting at all from the true potential of growing in soil. The moment you do add these mycorrhizal fungi, it's changing the game altogether. And fungi, basically what they do is they will, endomycorrhizal fungi, they will penetrate into the cell of a root in the plant. And there are billions of these cells in the plant roots. And they'll penetrate into them. And from there, they'll start branching out. And as they branch out, they pull in nutrients and water for the plant. Most notably phosphorus, but also nitrogen and potassium. So you got your NPK over there, and also micro elements. So a lot iron and zinc and manganese, a whole bunch of other ones as well. And that allows your plant to eat a wider array of, you know, the food that it needs to become a healthier plant. And once your plant is healthier, you know, you're getting faster veg times, you're getting faster cuttings, rooted cuttings, you're getting shorter time to flower, you're flipping, you're flipping to flower a lot sooner because your growth is just far faster than anything you've ever seen. In terms of what's happening inside of the plant, the moment your plant is able to absorb these different nutrients, you know, it's just like a healthy human, you know. If you're eating healthy, you're going to be a lot stronger. You're not going to be as tired. You're going to be more fluid. You're going to move, a whole lot smoother and faster and whatnot. And it's going to be healthier in general. So same thing with these plants. And that changes everything that's going on inside of the plant. So we're seeing also effects on cannabinoid content. So increases in cannabinoid from CBD to THC to CBG and CBN. We're also seeing terpene increases. Breeders who have used our product are reporting that they're seeing terpene increases as well. The fragrances are a lot stronger. The plant's immune system also increases as well because it has the support of these fungi. So the fungi in the soil or in cocoa, they have, you know, anti-pathogen properties, so to speak. So they can help combat soil pathogens. And above ground, your plants are just healthier, so they'll be able to ward off pests a lot better.
Yeah, and that makes sense. Just I've never seen such an application as mycorrhizal fungi that does create such a holistic benefit. It's crazy. Like you said, from popping seeds, getting your germination rates up, to increasing your yield. Is this usable in any dirt media? And when are we going to see that liquid so we can get people in like DWC using Dynamyco?
Yeah, you can use it. And we have growers using it in cocoa and rock wool. We have people using it obviously in soil, bagged soil or out in the field. You can use it in multiple medias. We have people dipping their cubes, their rooting cubes. So whether they're Jiffy Pucks or Root Riots or Rock Wool cubes, whatever it is. I actually have someone now who's reporting that he's getting cuttings rooted in 4 days since supplying Dynamyco to the mix.
Damn. So you can use it. You can use it on anything.
Yeah. He went down from 8 days to 4 days. And at 8 days, he's got like spaghetti noodles, spaghetti roots growing out. And at 4 days, you can really see massive roots, you know, being developed. So we're definitely working on a wettable powder product. It's not going to be a liquid product, but it will be, you know, a powder product, which you can then mix it and add it to a water. And then, you know, we'll be able to run it through drippers and all that fun stuff. But that's still in the works. And obviously it takes a lot of time with all the regulations and registration and all that stuff, but it's definitely in the works. And, you said something, you asked another question, but I forgot what it was.
No, yeah, I always do like 2-3-part questions just to confuse my guests. No, you answered them both. Is it usable in virtually any setup, which it was? And when is that liquid coming, which is going to be a powder mixable liquid? I look forward to that, man.
Yeah, so you can definitely use it with multiple growing medias. The one thing that is problematic, we do have people using the granular product in a DWC system, but they're not pouring the granules into the water. What they're doing is they're, you know, they're dipping their cubes in, and then those cubes are, you know, surrounded by the hydrogen balls. Mm. So that's definitely possible.
Whoa.
You know, so long as you have something that's holding the roots together, because these the fungi, they need to latch on to the roots, right? And if you have a DWC system with constantly circulating water, those fungi, they're microscopic, they're going to continue moving around and around, and they might not ever latch onto the root, oh, right? So you want to give them a little bit of time to establish before going into the system. So ideally, what you'd want to do is get those cubes, you know, inoculated, and then when you transplant them into those DWC systems, they'll already be, you know, associated with the fungi, and then you can continue growing and have that association already. But if you're just going to pour the product into water and just hope that, you know, the fungi are going to swim up to the roots when, you know, you have an 18-inch bucket and the fungi are way down below and the roots are way up high, you know, I think you're kind of living in fairyland.
I see. That's very eye-opening. You know, you have to understand how this sort of thing works to apply it to your garden correctly.
Right, exactly. So the earlier you apply it in the plant's life, the better off you are. And especially with these DWC systems, I've had people send me emails saying, you know, I used it in the DWC system, it saved my plants. But, you know, you got to remember that they're not pouring directly into the water. They're trying to get it onto the roots, as close to the roots as possible. You know, they're on the hydrogen cubes, they're on the jiffies or the rock wools or whichever cubes you're using. So that's really important to remember. I think I said hydrogen cubes, I meant hydrogen balls.
Sure. Yeah, no, we know what you meant, Ari. We got you, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen great success in all sorts of setups. So let me ask you this, kind of a bit of a left turn, back to Israel. Mm-hmm. I'm fascinated by the cannabis scene in Israel. It seems like there's a ton of science coming out of there, but it also seems like they're not super friendly as far as like, and correct me if I'm wrong, as far as like personal use. So what is the deal with cannabis in Israel? And is that an accurate assessment where it seems like there's a lot of people studying it, but not as many people smoking it?
Oh, well, there's a lot of people smoking it.
Illegally, though, I guess is what I mean.
Illegally.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. A lot of people smoking it illegally. I mean, if you walk on the beach of Tel Aviv, you will smell nothing but, you know, ganja all over the place.
Oh, wow. So it's a big scene there, although it's illegal.
It's a huge scene. If you walk down the streets of most cities, you know,
whoa,
you will probably smell cannabis being smoked somewhere, especially in Tel Aviv. Like literally, you'll have bars give you rolling papers and filter tips and, you know, and the little cups to roll your spliffs in, because most Israelis mix tobacco with their weed. They roll
like
spliffs.
The European thing. That's hilarious.
Yeah, very European. So in that sense, there's a lot of people smoking it, but they just decriminalized it. So instead of, you know, going to jail or having them open a criminal, you know, report and investigation, what they do is they give you a fine now.
Well, that's better.
But, you know, we're still a ways away from seeing 100%, you know, recreational cannabis. But the medical scene has been, I would say, thriving. There's only 9 million people in Israel. It's not a big country. It's not a hugely populated country.
Right.
And there's about, I think maybe now there's about 80,000 medical cannabis patients. So in 1963 or 1964, an Israeli professor by the name of Rafael Meshulam discovered THC and CBD. He discovered this by basically using confiscated hash, which came from Morocco or from Lebanon into Israel. And he would go to the police station, get the hash. And that's how he discovered the cannabinoids. And so that was discovered way back in the 60s. And then about 20 years later, that same professor discovered that the human body has an endocannabinoid system and that the cannabinoids from cannabis interplay with the endocannabinoid system. So the medical scene has been around for a very long time. And on top of that, the Israeli government has been allowing cannabis companies to do clinical trials at hospitals. So there's a ton of research that's been done. Most of the research, most of the stuff that, you know, the Americans and the world know about you know, the health benefits of cannabis for different ailments, such as Crohn's, glaucoma, all these different stuff. That stuff, those are trials that started in Israel. Those are, you know, that's research that was done in Israel 10, 15, 20 years ago. So, you know, they had doctors doing these studies. They had, you know, doctors and nurses following the patients and helping them and all that stuff. So a lot of medical stuff coming out of it. And it's just been, you know, you were allowed to study the stuff in your master's degree or your postdoc at a university. So
it's fascinating.
That opened up a ton of research, you know? So terpenes and the play, the entourage effect, which was discovered, you know, also by Professor Mashulam, well, that the way, you know, the cannabinoids and terpenes play together and all that stuff. There's a very prominent Israeli scientist by the name of Dedi Meiri, D-E-D-I, that's his nickname. His name is David Meiri, but he goes by Dedi. And he is in charge of the cannabis and cancer laboratory. And that's in the Technion, which is like the MIT of Israel. So basically, he takes all these different cannabis strains. And what he does is he wants to see how they affect cancer cells and if they can kill cancer cells or not kill cancer cells. And he's discovered quite a few strains that have properties that kill different cancer cells. So it's very, very fascinating, the medical side and what's going on that aspect. And there's tons of stuff going on over there.
It's bizarre how here we were so reluctant and afraid and still are resistant to studying it. Right. As anti-cannabis as we were for so long, a big part of that was you cannot study this plant. It doesn't seem like that was the attitude in Israel. It seems like they're like, yeah, it's illegal, but we're going to still study it.
Right. Because I think that, you know, they did realize that there were tons of, you know, benefits to it. Right.
Like, it's a different
obviously
attitude.
Obviously, people are smoking it for some reason. Yeah. People are smoking it for some reason. And people are seeing tons of benefits from it for some reason. So let's like, why is that the case? You know, let's discover that. Let's explore that. And luckily we had scientists in Israel who were willing to, you know, take, I don't know if it's right. The risk, but, you know, take it upon themselves to do this, these clinical trials and do all this research. And the world is definitely a better place now, thanks to a lot of these people.
100%. The science that's come out of there is incredible. And again, it's just weird. Like here in America, we would have like tracked those scientists down and like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like we have some sort of fear of knowledge that I think pervades our culture differently than other cultures around the world. But I had not heard about the decriminalization. That makes me extremely happy. And hopefully legalization is right around the corner.
I hope so. They just changed, elected a new government, and that government, a lot of the officials had spoken previously about a reform coming and legalization. So I hope it's a lot sooner than later, because it's, you know, it's due. If you can get shit faced and drunk, you know, from alcohol, I don't see a reason why you can't, you know, sit and smoke a joint on the beach. You know what
right.
I mean?
Absolutely. Of course. We look forward to that day. For all the nations around the world, honestly, more nations that come online, it's going to be a domino effect is what it's really going to be.
Absolutely. And the fact that, you know, it is a domino effect because, you know, so many states, look at what's going on in the states now. You know, I'm in Colorado right now. Colorado had billions of tax money that they, you know, that they collected over the years. And all of a sudden, you know, the school systems are doing better. And, you know, they got a lot of additional revenue stream to fix, you know, infrastructure or schools or whatever it is that's needed, you know, and more states are following suit. So, you know, you'd be a fool not to realize how much you can make in terms of taxes as a state, but you got to do it wisely, right? If people are used to paying $10 a gram, you can't come in and charge them $15 at a dispensary and think you're going to sell, you know, that the illicit market is going to disappear.
It's just, $20 a gram here in Illinois, dude. It's the worst. Have you been up here yet? Enjoy Michigan. Let me put it that way.
Not yet.
Enjoy Michigan, man. Enjoy Michigan.
Not yet.
I'm headed that way.
Well, for sure.
Oh,
Michigan is a phenomenal scene out there. And I'm in Colorado right now. This has been my 12th state in the last almost 4 months. I've been traveling the country extensively, meeting with grow facilities and grow shops and, you know, just getting the word out there about Dynamico. So
That's killer.
Michigan's
man.
A fun scene. It's been, yeah, I was up there about a month ago and I'm flying back today for CanaCon. So that should be a fun one.
Nice.
And it's just amazing to see how many people are involved in the cannabis scene. You know, all of a sudden they're coming out of the closet, so to speak. And there is just so many people growing cannabis.
100%, especially in the Midwest. I mean, Michigan has always been known for it, but Chicago, you know, Illinois quietly came online medical a while ago, and it's just like, holy shit, everybody gets high here. Like every blue collar construction worker just goes home and is a closet stoner. We just didn't know it.
Yep. And I prefer that any day over someone going home and get shit faced drunk, you know?
Oh, of course.
There's no two ways about it.
Oh, with the heart disease implications and the damage to your liver and neurological problems, sleep problems, inflammation. I mean, the list goes on. Don't get me started on the acceptance of the poison that is alcohol here. But, Oh man, listen, it's been a 40 minute interview. This was a pleasure, Ari. Is there anything we missed? I mean, dynomyco.com, obviously. Go and find Dynomyco. Go and find Ari at all these shows. What else we got? Anything you want to update us on before we sign off?
Well, all your listeners have a GrowCast code as well.
I didn't want to throw it out there, but yes, please.
Yeah, I'm throwing it out there. You know, if you're listening to the show and you're interested in trying Dynomyco, so there definitely is a promo code for you guys to enjoy. It's GrowCast. You can use that on our website or on Amazon.
Thank you, Ari.
And my pleasure. Yeah, it's just been a blast. I've been listening to your show. I remember being in, you know, originally in the trials that we did in Israel to, you know, when we were formulating the product. And I remember talking to a few growers and talking about podcasts. And one of them said, yeah, there's a guy by the name of Jordan River. So I remember, and then after that, I started listening to your show. So I kid you not.
I got fans in Israel.
You got fans in Israel.
That's fucking bizarre.
I'll even,
and flattering.
I'll give the guy a shout out. His name is Dean Kenyuk. So thank you, Dean, for turning me on to the show. And, for setting this all up, it's pretty cool how the world works. It's been amazing just like being able to connect with so many people who I've, you know, heard about, read their articles or listened to their podcasts and all that, and then eventually get to meet them and be on their show. So that's been a real pleasure and a real fun part of the journey.
Thank you for sharing that. Shout out to Dean. What up, Dean? I'll be in Israel. I travel the world, buddy. Yeah. You're a fan. I'll be crashing on your couch. We'll see how much of a fan you are then when I'm crashing on your couch, buddy. No, seriously. Thank you, Ari. This was fantastic, man. And keep me up to date. Come up to Indo Expo in September or whatever, and I'll see you there.
I hopefully will do that. And like I said, I've been traveling for the last 4 months. So it would be nice.
Just keep
to
traveling, Ari.
Yeah, it would be nice. You know, it's fun, but it would be nice to also come back and just chill for a little bit in my apartment and just enjoy a little breather. Because I've been in, you know, hotels, Airbnbs for the last 4 months. It's been a blast, but you know, yeah. But you also need to kind of just chill and get grounded once again.
We'll see. We'll see, man. I'm sure we'll cross paths. So best of luck. Stay sane out there on the road.
Thank you. It's funny because I've met a few GrowCast, like people who are affiliated with the show along the way on my travels, which has been hilarious. You know, I met Wolfman in
That's
Oregon,
right.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he told me that you literally ran into him.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, I have a strain named after me. I do a podcast. I was like, are you Wolfman? He's like, yeah, how do you know? And then about 3 weeks ago, I met another one of your buddies, but I forgot his name. He was out in
Oklahoma. Yeah, it was Mary Jack. That was Mary Jack's garden.
Yeah.
Nice, dude. Yeah, we got people everywhere.
It's really funny. So
I love it, man.
The cannabis community
like
is
that.
Amazing. Yeah, it's been a blast.
Cannot tell you how much I love hearing stories like that from Israel to Oklahoma.
There you go.
To Wolfman in the West Coast, man. Killer. One more time. Thank you, Ari. Awesome interview.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Listeners, thank you so much. Stay subscribed. Stay tuned. At GrowCast on Instagram, at DinoMyco on Instagram, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Bam. Give us a follow and keep up to date on everything we're doing. This is Ari from DinoMyco and Jordan River signing off, saying be safe out there, growers, and grow smarter. That's all for today's show, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it. Thank you to Ari from DinoMyco. And thank you to Rimrock for being our choice sex testing partners. RimrockAnalytical.com. Code GROWCAST gets you free shipping on your tests. Rimrock Analytical, baby. Go to RimrockAnalytical.com, as I said. See their gender testing. Affordable, quick, accurate, easy collection process on that one, too. And then also check out their soil testing, their plant tissue nutrient analysis, their viroid testing. They've got everything you need, and you can get free shipping on your test. Save some big bucks with code GROWCAST at RimrockAnalytical.com. Stop wasting time sexing your plants, feeding them, wasting that space. Rimrock has you covered. Use code GROWCAST and send us snapshots anytime you use your code. Email contact@growcastpodcast.com and you're entered to win free seeds. It's just that simple. Thank you for being part of the community. Thank you for your support. Special thank you to all the members out there. Loving membership right now and always. But if you're just listening, that's totally cool too. I appreciate you most of all downloading this show. I hope I've helped you in your garden. We'll see you next time, everybody. This is Jordan River saying bye-bye.